So we're back in the book of John and just in a tremendous place because we've just had this journey together over the last almost, it's been about 8 months, I think, we've been in the book of John and we've followed the life of Christ. And here Christ is. The last time we visited this area was Jesus was talking to Pilate and was more interested in Pilate's soul than he was his own crucifixion. We talked about the availability of all of us to have that same concern as Christ. No matter what's facing us, how many know we got heaven waiting for us? Come on, somebody. No matter what's facing us, we got heaven waiting for us. I can do anything for the next few years knowing that my reward, my eternal reward, is to be in the presence of God forever and ever 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 and ever. I can put up with anything. But I don't want to see one person suffer being separated from the Father. Come on, somebody. I don't want to see one person separated from the Father. And so Jesus had a great concern for Pilate. And we see in John chapter 19, beginning in verse 5, Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and purple robe. And Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid and went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" The title of my message this morning is "Behold the Man." That's really what it comes down to, is where is our focus? We opened up this morning with the film on focus and having blurred vision. I think there's so many things in our life that can take us away from where our eyes are supposed to be. Our eyes are to be fixed on the man, Jesus Christ. And the Jews had a choice. And they chose that which really destroyed anything they could have done for years. In Matthew 27, Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?" And they all said to him, "Let him be crucified." The governor said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." And when Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this man. You see to it." And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Jesus came bound. It's interesting that he came bound with the crown of thorns and the purple robe and bound. He came before the people and they said, "Crucify him." And people come before him all the time, bound in sin and having a crown of sin upon them. And Jesus says, "Loose them and let them go." We condemn people too quick. If our eyes are fixed on Christ, we realize that Christ, that's who he died for. Those people that are making such a big fuss. Those people that have such a big stir. They're the people that Christ died for. Come on, somebody. And I think probably the reason why they're yelling the loudest is because they're the most needy. Those that were in that courtyard that day, many who had been healed, many who had been touched, many who had seen, many who had been probably fed by Christ, said, "Crucify him." Pilate brought Christ out and said, "Behold the man. Behold, look at Christ. Don't look at man. Don't look at the situation. Don't look at the outcome. Don't look at popular trends. Don't look at the age-appropriate behavior." Many people say, "I have time. I have time. There's time to this young man that just died. Happy-go-lucky driving down the road. Had many plans. We don't have any guarantees that anything is going to go beyond this next breath that we're taking right now. You say, well, Pastor, that's rather morbid. We don't want to bury anybody here this morning. We don't want anybody to die today. Neither do I, but we don't have any guarantees. This young family that just lost a 9-year-old girl to E. coli. Got a stomach virus. Days later, she's no longer with us. So where should our focus be as Christians? Where should our focus be? He is both the man that saved us and the sacrificial lamb who died for us. That's where our focus should be, on Him. There's no one else that can say that. Hey, I'll do anything I can for you. You can have anything I want. I have. But I can't save your soul. Come on, somebody. There is no one else that could say that. And He filled both roles. So just for a second, let's go one more time over what He did for us. Just in a rehearsal. You were born in sin and had no need of salvation, You were born into sin. Romans 6 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But I wonder if you've read before and after that. Turn with me over to Romans. Just what did God do for you? We sometimes think we did it ourselves. That salvation was our idea. Salvation wasn't our idea. We were going along very well, thank you very much. Sinning very well. Leave me alone. I'm doing just fine. Romans 6, beginning in verse 21. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Verse 22. And now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness. And the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What end did we have? What hope did we have? We had no hope. We were without hope in a lost and a dying world. We sometimes forget what state we were in. We were in a hopeless state. We were born into sin. We were born that way and had need of salvation. And Christ, number two, Christ died for us that we might be saved. Turn to Romans 5. Turn over to Romans 5. Romans 5, 6. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have now received the reconciliation. This focus that we have, this person that we look at, He has supplied all that we need for righteousness. He's taken all the sin away. Thirdly, He drew you by the Holy Spirit. It was His idea. Salvation was His idea. It was not my idea. It was His idea. He drew me. I was without common sense. Anybody with me today? Well, we were without common sense. When we said yes to God, we died. We said yes to God and we died. Colossians chapter 3. Turn over there. Let's get some exercise this morning. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians, the third chapter. When you're there, you're smiling at me. This focus that Pilate asked the crowd to have, I wonder what was going through their minds at that time. Because we've talked about it, we've hashed it over, you and I have, you know, you've heard me preach on it, and you've thought about it, I'm sure, but I wonder what changed between the Mount of Olives, coming down from the Mount of Olives into the city just a week before, and now standing before them was this same guy that they were yelling and screaming about Him, the Hosanna and the highest and all that stuff, and the love and the thing, and the palm trees and the coat. Now they're saying, crucify Him, crucify Him. Fear does strange things to us. That's half the reason why the church doesn't do what the church is supposed to do. We're afraid we won't be accepted. We're afraid we'll be looking weird. It's a popularity thing. I'd like to stand with you and say the things that you're saying, but then I'd be thought of like you're thought of. Colossians chapter 3 says, if then, somebody say if. It's a big word, if. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Where's your focus? Second verse, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. It's called responsibility, folks. We're responsible now. See, God positioned us to a place of responsibility. Before we were clueless, full of sin, actively pursuing sin in our lives. We were actively doing what unbelievers do. But now that our eyes have been opened, God said, I've deposited. You died and your life is hidden in Christ. Now we are without excuse. We can't keep doing the things that we're doing and expect that God is going to bless the church. Can't happen. Our focus needs to be on Jesus Christ. Set our mind on things above, not on things on this earth. We fuss with too much of what is not our concern. It's just not our concern. There's a lot of talk. I'm going to go off a little bit. But my wife says I'm off anyway, so. We're off into this thing that says, you know, this month is it. September is going to be it, man. It's all going to end. And I almost wish that that was so. Because I don't want to wake up October 1st and then have to deal with all the people that said, what happened? Anybody there with me? October 2nd, October 3rd, October 4th, everybody said, well, I thought it was supposed to end in September. Man, I made all the plans for it to end. Now I got to deal with it. And the new series of damages is on. Back to our lives. One of these days, it's going to happen. Christ is coming back. How many know that? But our focus needs to be on Him. And every time I go to Him, He says, don't worry about it. I'll take care of that. You take care of what I've asked you to take care of. You love your wife. You pray with your wife. You tell people about me. You pray for your kids. You be a man of God. You be a man of integrity. Don't worry about that. I've got that taken care of. I'm the conductor. You just playing an instrument, boy. 2 Corinthians. Turn there. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You probably can quote it. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It's a wonder. See, our focus is on, and it's exciting to keep our eyes on Christ. Because as long as my eyes are on Christ, He's taking care of me. He said He'd take care of me. He said, don't worry. So I don't have any worries. He said, I've given you peace, so I walk in His peace. He said, I've given you joy, so I walk in His joy. Come on, somebody. People call me nuts, but that's all right. Because my eyes are fixed on Christ. I'm not worried. I'm not anxious. My burden is where His burden is, on the lost. I'm going to be okay. Come on, somebody. I'm going to be all right. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And so I can't afford, neither can I grow in Christ if I do any of the things I used to do. Come on, somebody. I don't have the ability to if I keep my eyes on Him. I don't want to learn again the things of the world. I don't want to learn how to get away with things. I don't want to learn. I don't want to get to heaven and have the door just closed behind me by the skin of my teeth. Whew. Boy, I made it. Because you are born again, all things are now new. But they lie dormant until you activate them by faith. You say, how do I overcome sin? Activate your faith. Oh, I'm despondent. I'm depressed. Look at the world. It's falling apart. Keep your eyes on Christ. He told us this stuff would happen, for Pete's sakes. See, we're new creatures in Christ. Turn to somebody and say, I'm brand new. And this state of newness now, before we get too... Let's get real. This state of newness is a constant newness. You're always walking in newness. You weren't new 21 years ago when you got saved. You became a new creation. Now you're 21 years older. No, that's temporal thinking. That's like me when I was playing football with my grandson last week. I still thought I was 20-something. I found out I'm not 20-something anymore. Anybody there? But this new creation that we are is new all the time. We're in a state of newness. Every moment we're new. That's the eternal in us. Catch this, because if you catch this, it will lift all the burdens from you. See, because you're a new person, you're able to walk in authority over sin. Sin has nothing in me. Come on, somebody. Sin can look pretty good sometimes, can't it? Dresses up, looks nice, smells nice. We have to rebuke it. Come on, somebody. Living a righteous life sometimes is not the most glorious thing in the world. In fact, it's embarrassing sometimes. Everybody's going this way and you go that way. Somebody starts talking ignorant and you leave the room. What's wrong with you? Nothing. Nothing wrong with me. I just don't want to be part of this. Come on, somebody. Hello. This newness, see, our focus, behold the man. Our focus is on Christ. And He gives us authority over sin. Speak the word and watch things come to pass. We speak the word. We stand on the word. I'm healed. Now that it's over, I'll give my testimony. Several months ago, about 2 or 3 months ago now, it was all I could do to walk down steps. I had to walk holding the wall coming down these steps back here. I waited till everybody else was not around. And my legs hurt so bad. I had prayer. Several people prayed. It was knee, it was leg. Somebody said about knees. We're going to pray this morning and knees are going to be healed. How many need their knees healed today? Come on. God's going to heal knees today. So... But, you know, I could have went to the doctors. We got that thing called insurance. I'm not against it. But God just, I just felt like, God, I'm going to stand and believe. And I just stood and believed every day, every day, every day, every day. I'm healed in Jesus' name. Why? I'm not bragging. I'm just saying I stood. See, I stood and spoke the word, spoke words of faith over my body, told my body to line up to the word. Because people with official long words, doctors you go see and they got all these words that you don't have any understanding and you repeat them. I've heard people say I have blah, 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 and it's like $64,000 word. I said, how much did that word cost you? I can't even pronounce that word and I don't want it in my body, that's for sure. Come on, somebody. I'm not putting it down. I understand it. I've been to doctors. I'll go to doctors again. But I want to stand and believe. See, my focus is on Christ. He said I could walk in healing. And so I walk in healing. Doesn't mean I never get sick. It means if I'm sick, I'm believing Him to heal me. So I walk in authority over sin. I speak the word and watch things come to pass. I have power over all the attacks of the enemy. I have power over all the attacks. No matter how he attacks, I got something for him. Bring it on. I got something for you. I got the double deuce, man. See? If you have faith, Jesus said, listen, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And in the small print underneath, it says only a few people will ever live this way. It's just small print. Small print. It's in the original King James. No, it says, move from here to there and it will move and nothing will be impossible for you. Say it with me. Nothing will be impossible for me. Where's my focus? My focus is on Christ. I'm not looking at the crowd saying, crucify. I'm not looking at the circumstances. I'm not looking at the fact that somebody is saying, if you confess Christ, you'll be crucified with Him. See, my focus is on Him. My focus is on God. Despite what man will do, whatever man could do to me, my focus is on Christ. Behold the man! Behold Jesus! Over in John, Jesus said, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Man, I stood on that word for a couple months. God, you said, if I ask anything in your name, God, I'm asking you in your name. I don't want to have to put up with this pain anymore in Jesus' name. Because if it doesn't work for me, I can't export it. It's like one of those things on TV, you know. In your weak moment, when you're watching an infomercial and they tell you all this stuff is supposed to get stains out and restore leather. My wife and I just did the restore leather thing. Said it restore leather to new, and we put it on, it tore the leather apart. It lied. See, if it doesn't work for us, how are we going to export it to anybody else? Am I talking to the right people this morning? If it doesn't work for us, what in the world have we got? How are we going to tell anybody else? February 15th, 1921, New York City. The operating room of Kane Summit Hospital. A doctor is performing an appendectomy. Many ways the events leading to the surgery are uneventful. Patient has complained of severe abdominal pain. The diagnosis is clear, an inflamed appendix. Dr. Kane is performing the surgery. In his distinguished 37-year medical career, he has performed nearly 4,000 appendectomies, so the surgery will be uneventful in always except two. The first novelty of this operation is the use of local anesthesia in major surgery. Dr. Kane is a crusader against the hazards of general anesthesia. He contends that a local application is far safer. Many of his colleagues agree with him in principle, but in order for them to agree in practice, they will have to see the theory applied. So Dr. Kane searches for a volunteer, a patient who is willing to undergo surgery while under local anesthesia. A volunteer is not easily found. Many are squeamish at the thought of being awake during their own surgery. Others are fearful that the anesthesia might wear off too soon. Eventually, however, Dr. Kane finds a candidate. On Tuesday morning, February 15th, the historic operation occurs. The patient is prepped and wheeled into the operating room. A local anesthesia is applied. As he has done thousands of times, Dr. Kane dissects the superficial tissues and locates the appendix. He skillfully excises it and concludes the surgery. During the procedure, the patient complains of only minor discomfort. The volunteer is taken into post-op, then placed in a hospital ward. He recovers quickly and is dismissed 2 days later. Dr. Kane's theory has been proven. Thanks to the willingness of a brave volunteer, Kane demonstrated that local anesthesia was a viable and even preferable alternative. But I said at the beginning there are two facts that made the surgery unique. I've told you the first. The second is the patient. The courageous candidate for surgery by Dr. Kane was Dr. Kane. To prove his point, Dr. Kane operated on himself. Wise move, the doctor became a patient in order to convince the patients to trust the doctor. Come on, somebody. Is that where we live or what? See, we tell people that Jesus can heal. We tell people that Jesus can take our sorrows and our pain and our anxiety and our sickness. And if He hadn't done for us, come on, somebody. It's quiet in here. You have the authority in Christ. Christ lives in you just like He does me. Come on, somebody. Few have yet to realize the power available to us if we simply believe. The works of Christ were never meant to be relegated to a few people. Every believer has the authority of Christ resident in them. Our focus is on Him. Not until that place will we see the rise of the church. Not until that takes place in our time, right now, will we ever see what we need to see in our communities. It occurred to me in preparing this message that Gideon's 300, how many like the story of Gideon's 300? I love that story, man. I like to preach it, you know, the blowing and the thing and the trumpet and the deal and the lights and the screaming and the people running. It's Hollywood, man. It is. It'd be a good movie. But do you realize that Gideon's 300 were not picked by God? They had a choice. Lap water or pick water up. Look around where you're lapping water. That 300 was arbitrary. Could have been Gideon's 600. Could have been Gideon's 800. Come on, somebody. Are you there with me? It was Gideon's 300 because God said the first, He said, if anybody's scared, go home. So a bunch of people went home because they were scaredy cats. So if you're scared, go home. If you got a wife, you got, you know, you're this and that, you got, just go home. So He went home and He said, take the rest down to the water, and those who lap like a dog, send them home. Get down like this. You're not looking around. They're not aware. Will you be used in this end time revival? It all depends on you. See? The same sin that Israel committed is the sin of the church today. We're more interested in taking care of ourselves than being wary and being aware of all that's around us. And let me give you a secret. If our eyes are on Christ, we'll be aware of what's around us. If our eyes are on ourselves or anything else, we'll be blinded. And what we've done is we've turned Christ over to earthly authorities. We're actually concerned with what Washington thinks about Christ. I could give a rip what they think about Christ. I want them to get saved, but they're not judging me. They're not judging the Word. Who are they to set themselves up as judges? See what's, come on, somebody. Who are they that tells me I can't pray in public? That I can't speak against sin? Hell will freeze over before I stop preaching about sin. And that ain't going to happen. See, I don't care what people... And they turned Christ over to the authorities. This is exactly what the Pharisees did. They came to Pilate and said, crucify Him. Watch John 19. Go back to John 19. Wow, gotta get going here. John 19, verse 8. Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid and went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, where are you from? Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have the power to crucify you and power to release you? Jesus answered, you could have no power at all against me unless it has been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. Who delivered him to Pilate? The Jews. God's chosen. Why are we waiting to hear the command from anybody but Christ? Christ already established as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. My last check, the vote was already in. Now they're telling me if I speak the truth that I hate people. You speak the truth, you hate people. Are you going daft? Is your brain falling asleep? And church authorities are waiting to hear from secular people. It's destroyed the church. The same power that Christ moved in, that which could not be touched by human authority, is the same power available to us. Christ said to Pilate, you would have no authority unless it had been given to you. There is no authority that man has against me. I'm 10 foot tall and bulletproof. Come on, somebody turn and say amen. Amen. Come on. See, Christ cannot be beat in me. Earthly authorities have no power over us or jurisdiction unless we give it to them. The things that have taken place in the last few years are a statement of the weakness of the church and not the strength of the government. We're weak. We don't pray anymore. Our focus is not on Christ. It's how popular we can be. What's the top 10 songs? What's the top 10 messages? Who's the greatest preacher? Instead of keeping our eyes focused on Christ and God. Since 1971, when prayers were taken from the schools, we have allowed the civil government to do what they were never authorized to do. Enact laws that openly disagree with the express will of God set forth in His Word. I don't care how much importance you put on our government, if it supersedes God's Word, they're nothing in my eyes. Amen. They're nothing. God is everything and they're nothing. It's by His leave that they exist, not the other way around. Amen. A temporary judgment by temporal authorities will never supersede what the eternal commands of God say. Never. We can't allow it to be, and we've allowed it. We've let the skid go too far. We've let it go too far. We've let the thing almost self-destruct. But we have the power to stand against it. It's not over till God says it's over. Matter of fact, God is waiting for it to get to a place of impossibility so He could shine. John 19:12. From then on, Pilate sought to release Him, but the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend." Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was at the preparation day of the Passover in about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, now watch, he said, "Behold the man." Now he says, "Behold your king." And they said, cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. They took Jesus and led him away. Thing is, our focus needs to be on Christ and not on people. Who set them as authorities anyway? Come on. It's quiet in here. We say, well, you can't talk disrespect for leaders. They ain't my leaders. I got a leader in His name, Jesus. They're not my leaders. They tell me I can't defend my home. They're not my leaders. They tell me I can't declare God's Word. They're not my leaders. We need to get angry at the right things. Everybody okay? Can I take a few more minutes? You all right? You help? Breathe in, breathe out. Smile at me. Come on. Here's some truths that we have to deal with as individuals. This is you. This is you now. This is not your brother, sister, husband, wife, mom, dad, aunt, uncle. This is you. This is what you have to deal with. If you serve Christ, you will not be a friend of the authorities in this land. You will have to deal with that as a servant of Christ. We're moving in quickly into a time and are already here that if you are a confessing Christian and you believe in the whole Word of God, you are in trouble. But you're going to have to settle that yourself. It's one thing to look at Christ as a man. It's quite another to look at Him as King. And that's the question we've got to ask ourselves. Do we crucify Him or is the world crucified to us? It is one thing to look at Christ as a man. It's quite another as a king. They rejected Him as a man. He did not meet the criterion of the man they were expecting. They rejected Him at the time. And I wonder what I'm fearful of if things don't come to pass like every Tom, Dick, and Harry is saying that things are going to come to pass. What happens October 1st? Where are our eyes at? They rejected Him as king. He did not meet the criterion of the king they were expecting. So they said, crucify Him. Three times the people were given to spare Christ. Three times. Three times Pilate declared Jesus to the crowd as your king. Crucify him. Hebrews 6. Turn there quickly. Hebrews 6. Now I'm going to start fussing with you. Hebrews 6. Have your attention just for a few more minutes. Unless you have to use the facilities, please don't get up and walk around. There's coffee afterwards, drinks afterward. Please, it's a holy time. Please. Hebrews chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, faith toward God, doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. I'm amazed at what the science can do with DNA. Man, you can't get away with anything. They just find a little hair in a chunk. You know, CSI, of course. You know, you find a little hair this big with a microscope. They find the hair and they find the DNA and you're guilty. Come on, so that's amazing. Is your DNA on the cross? Is your DNA on the cross that Christ asked you to carry? Or someone else carrying that for you? Is your DNA, is your footprints at the scene where God wants it to be? Come on, somebody. I'm amazed what they could do to tear. But I'm asking today, where is your DNA? It says, leaving the elementary principles. My time's up. Timer, my time's up. Oh, well. Leaving the elementary principles. What are the elementary principles? Repentance from dead works. That means stop sinning. Come on, I'm looking at you right now. That means stop sinning. Stop doing the things that you know not to do. Stop it. He's talking to us. Over in Hebrews it says, getting rid of the sin that so easily entraps us or ensnares us. You know, that thing that you just default to. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's booze. Maybe it's gambling. Maybe it's football. Come on, somebody. Quiet in here. This is a command for us. Our focus is on Christ then. We leave the elementary principles. Repentance from dead works. Get rid of the reoccurring sins that so easily beset you in Hebrews 12:1. Number two, an elementary principle, faith towards God. Settle it in your hearts now that He will never let you down, never let you go, and He'll never leave you. Have faith in God. Come on, somebody. Have faith in God. Turn around from your dead works and have faith in God. Number three, doctrine of baptisms. Arguing the point will not get the work done. Follow Him in obedience. If you've not been baptized in water, the first Sunday in September, we're going to have baptisms right here. Come and get baptized. If you did it and you weren't serious about it, come and get wet again. It says baptisms, plural. So if you've not been baptized in the Holy Ghost, seek God. Come, get ministered to, get baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's an elementary principle. Amen. Some people would argue that point. But my Bible says, be baptized in the Holy Spirit. These are elementary principles. Can you believe it? This sounds like college level stuff to me. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. What is that about? The Holy Spirit baptizing you, immersing you. It's just elementary stuff. Come on. Woohoo! I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. Laying on of hands. Elementary principle. The reality of the act itself is obedience. The balance of scripture and folklore on the laying on of hands. Guess what? I lay my hands on you. It's not magic. You don't get part of me. Oh, I want the man of God to lay hands so he could transfer his anointing to me. That's a bunch of garbage. His anointing is from God. The laying on of hands is so that God will do for you what he did for the man of God. It's not coming from the man of God. It's coming from God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Bunch of God. Oh, I got to get close to the man of God. The man of God. The man of God. The man of God is going to lay hands on me and transfer something to me. Well, who's your Savior and where's your focus? It's on the man of God. It sickens me. It makes me nauseous. I want to throw up. My goodness. Man puts his pants on the same way as I do. The only anointing he has is from Christ. The only good he ever did was from Christ. I believe in laying on of hands. But I want the anointing of Jesus Christ. You keep your anointing. Come on, somebody. Resurrection of the dead. Woo! That's an elementary principle, yeah. People die, but people get raised from the dead. And the ultimate is resurrection from the dead. We get all sad about people dying. They're in heaven. They're waiting for us. We'll see them. Come on, somebody. Elementary principle. Eternal judgment. Do we realize that when the judgment is rendered, it is not temporary? There is no escape once a person dies. What's done is done. Despite what the Pope says. Pope says I could sin and live like a sinner. And then when I get to heaven, heaven says, no, we've got summer heaven for you. You know, like summer school, summer heaven. You know, you got to go to purgatory and wait around. No air conditioning there. Not flames, just no air conditioning. And we'll get you in here. Come on, somebody. Eternal judgment's eternal judgment. Once you breathe your last, wherever your focus was is what's going to be judged at the throne. I'd like to tell you something different. There's no remedial films to watch once you're dead. Remember, purgatory may sound loving, but it strikes right at the heart of the sacrifice of Christ. It remains once for man to die, then the judgment. We live in a generation that looks for loopholes. We're always looking for, you know, well, that's what the law says, but I got a way out. Once enlightened, you are responsible for what you know. Once you've tasted the heavenly gift, salvation changes someone. No change, no salvation. If somebody's not saved, they're not saved. And that's what I'm looking for is the fruit. You said a prayer, but is there evidence of Christ in your life? Is the DNA going to convict you? Watch what it says. If they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, it says, crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put into an open shame. That means that believers, talking about believers now. That's talking about you and me. This is where you and I live. This is our zip code right here. It says, if you crucify Christ again, which we can do by our stubbornness, by our willingness to sin, by our willingness to turn around and not get the elementary principles we just talked about, we are then ready to crucify Christ once again. And it says there is no covering for that sin. It's impossible to win them back. That's how dangerous it is to take our focus off Christ once Christ is our Lord. Galatians 6:14, Paul says, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. So who are we crucifying? Who are we crucifying? Are we crucifying the world or are we crucifying Christ? Paul says the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. My eyes are on Christ. I'm a bond servant. I'm a bond slave of Christ. The crowd is yelling, away with him, crucify him. Everything is under scrutiny now. The word's not called the word anymore. Not called the word of God. It's an old archaic book that should be gotten rid of by authorities. Those in the know I got news for them. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my Father's word will never pass away. It's the final authority. So I want you to put everything away right now. We're going to pray for people. Somebody come up and play, or put a CD on, or. Our focus needs to be back on Christ. There are things that we need to leave here today, right here at the front. And there's some things that you need to deal with. Forget about the person beside you, or the person that, you know, how they'll feel differently about you, or feel the same, or hold you accountable. No, don't worry about their holding you accountable. Christ is going to hold you accountable because you're responsible for what you hear. Come on, somebody. So we're gonna crucify the world to us anew and afresh today. We're putting away things. It's the sin that so easily besets us. We're leaving here. God is healing knees today. There's a great healing anointing right here today for knees. I can tell you that right now. And I will pray for you for that because He did it for me. It's not my anointing, it's His anointing. I'd love to pray for you. And I want to pray right now. And the things, before we forget, because it's proven 20 minutes after a message, nobody knows what the message was. But right now, it's fresh in your heart. Bow your heads with me, every head bowed. Father, this morning, God, while it's fresh in our heart, whatever area that we've compromised in, God, we confess it right now to You. God, whatever it is that we've set in front of You, God, we put it away from us. Our focus only on You, God. If you're here this morning, you said, Pastor Rick, I have been playing games with God these many years. I have not been serious with the Lord. I've played the game. I've said the right words. But my heart is not right with God. I want to get right this morning with Him. I want you to slip your hand up. I want to pray for you. Say, I want to get serious with God. I've not been serious. I've been outside the, drawing outside the lines too long. I want to pray with you this morning. Anyone else? Anyone else this morning? Now, as we pray, I want you to come up. If you need a healing, you need a touch from God, you need to leave stuff up here, you might just want to come up. And if you don't want anybody to pray for you, just tell somebody, I don't want anybody to pray for me. Just get on your knees at the altar. Believe God. Father, I thank You this morning for those that were honest enough to say, I've been playing games. God, would You just point them in the right direction? Lord, would You just point them in the right direction? Do what You do best, God. Holy Spirit, convict. Holy Spirit, fill. In Jesus' name. Now as we continue to worship, you need a touch from God. Come up. Can I have the elders come, please? You need a touch from God physically. God wants to heal you today. You come up.